Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, July 29th. And today we're going to be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. We're going to cover a couple of areas. The new agreement that the United States has made with Guatemala regarding asylum and how productive that could be for future caravans and for controlling future caravans, I should say. And then we're also going to talk about the Supreme Court decision regarding the funding on the border wall. So those are going to be the two major issues that we're going to get into. And then we'll touch a little bit on the latest controversy between President Trump and Representative Cummings of Maryland, where all of a sudden now that has become a, I guess, the latest controversy. And I've got some thoughts on that because I think that, you know, it seems like they can say anything in the world that they want about President Trump. They can say whatever. They can even say lies about President Trump. And that, of course, doesn't seem to matter. But the minute the President Trump tries to defend himself, then everybody's a racist. And I find that very troubling. But that seems to be the playbook that so many in the left are playing these days. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. George, how's the weather in
Real
the beautiful
good.
City of
it's
San
nice
Antonio?
It's nice and hot. It's nice and hot, but it's good. No thunderstorms, no snowstorms, no hail.
Yeah, you just have a typical July evening there in San Antonio, huh?
That's right. It's real, well, you know, it's as we speak, it's still 90 degrees outside right now, so.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to figure out what it is up here. 88 as we speak, and I know that it's humid. We've had some 54% humidity, so it's a little humid to say the least. But it's been that way all afternoon. You know, you have that heat and humidity combination that makes you want to run for the air conditioning as soon as you can, George.
Yeah, in fact, I attended the State Association of Sheriffs of Texas. Sheriffs is holding their convention here in San Antonio today and tomorrow, and I went down to the convention to visit with some of them, and I had to park about two blocks away, and let me tell you, I was wilted by the time I got to the hotel. It was.
Are they meeting downtown? Just out of curiosity, the
yeah,
sheriff?
They're meeting at the at the convention center in the Alamo near the Alamo Dome.
Oh, okay. Well, that how many are there? How many sheriffs are there?
A bunch. I mean, it's one from each county, and there's over 200 counties. And then they brought their deputies with them as well as other staff members. So it's a good little crowd.
Yeah, it's a good convention. Well, give my best to them if you see them. Tell them that we appreciate the good work they do.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting to hear them talk and to meet with them and to, I mean, you know, they really, really are doing, you know, especially the guys that are on the border, they're really, really working overtime and hard.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But I want to get your reaction to this controversy with Representative Cummings, because I am happy. I'm happy that we finally have a president who's going to say, you know what, I'm going to fight back, and I'm going to hit you back, and if you keep calling me names and if you keep being partisan with me, I'm going to fight back. And, of course, you're a racist because Mr. Cummings is black, then automatically Trump is a racist. But I don't think that works anymore. In other words, I think this race card has reached the point right now where it doesn't have any added value. If you think Trump's a racist, you're not going to vote for him anyway. And if you think what I do, that he's done a pretty good job as president, then you're going to vote for him. But I think there's very few persuadable people in the middle who are going to say, okay, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump because he's a racist because of this argument with Cummings. I don't think this race card works the way it did maybe at one time. And I would argue that it may actually backfire on the Democrats because the people who live – look, I have a lot of friends in Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore for 8 years of my life, not in Baltimore itself. Well, part of the time in Baltimore and the other time in one of the suburbs. And I have a lot of friends there with whom I interact in social media. And everybody is sick and tired of what's happening in that city, the crime and everything else. Most of them have actually lived or moved away from Baltimore to the suburbs. And they don't go to the city unless they have to. Nobody wants to open a business in Baltimore, especially after those riots they had and how they burned down some businesses. So the city is going nowhere. The whole thing is a disgrace. It's a disaster. And I'm kind of glad that President Trump is pointing this out. He's saying, look, you guys have been running this show for 25, 30 years, and look, what do you have to show for it? I think it's a smart move politically, George.
I really do. I mean, you know, you're right that people – that we've reached a point where it's like crying wolf constantly. I mean, even Nancy Pelosi got called a racist by Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, it just is. It's reached the point where everybody's a racist if you disagree with these Democrat elected officials. You know, whether they're Hispanic or whether they are black or whatever. I mean, you cannot have a civil discussion with them. I am fascinated when I hear somebody say that we need an honest discussion on race, and then they, you know, it's everything but honest. What they want to do is make you feel guilty. Well, we finally have a president that reflects what I think is the feeling of a lot of folks in the United States, including myself, where, you know, we're just tired of being called racist. I mean, I've been called a racist by Hispanics because I have a strong opinion about border security. It's at that point that the word is meaningless. It is meaningless. I wrote an article for my blog, El Conservador, and I talk about, my personal experience with racism and how I've seen it devolve from an effort to seek justice and equality to now it's just an effort to portray to preach hate and claim victimization. I mean, it's really, really bad. It's become a political strategy rather than an effort to build on.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And it like you say, I do think it's crying wolf. I don't think it adds any votes. And the Democrats are not adding any votes to their side by doing this everybody's a racist game. I think they've got all the votes they're going to get from that. And I would argue that they got to get votes from people who may consider voting for someone other than Trump. But I don't think you're going to get their votes by calling them a racist. I just don't think that's a very smart strategy. But they keep doing it, and it's in my opinion, it's a loser strategy. In fact, I have a post coming out Tuesday morning about this, and where I argue that the Democrats – they seem to be obsessed with two topics, impeachment and race. And in both cases, these are topics that may work for them in the primary. They may work for them in the primary, but they're not going to work for them in the general election. Because at some point, you got to tell people something other than you're a racist. You got to tell them something. You got to explain to them how are you going to do all these things they're going to do. And it's very difficult. I mean, in my mind, it's very difficult to say that Donald Trump is a racist when his policies are benefiting the African-American population in ways that are just substantial. Lowest unemployment rate for black Americans, for Hispanics, for women. You know, at some point, I have to believe that many of the blacks who live in those districts, you know, just look at all of this and say, well, there go the Democrats again. You know, that's what they've been saying for 50 years, but I don't see anything tangible that they're doing, George.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, you've got to build on something positive rather than just this hate. And that's all of this is. I mean, when you can't discuss anything, when you can't criticize individuals, when they can't take the heat like they are dishing it out, then you know, that says something about their character.
Right.
And then when you've got their constant attack, whether it's for impeachment or because he's racist, all right, you know, eventually you've got to say, you know, what else is there? Is that all there is?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if you're gonna talk about impeachment, I like to read the article of impeachment that they're going to propose, because impeachment is a very serious thing. That's why it's only happened twice. And in the case of President Nixon, it never got to first base because he resigned. But, you know, in those cases, at least there was a law that was broken. There was some kind of a law that was broken or some legal reason for impeachment. I mean, obstruction of justice or perjury with President Clinton. And if you go back to Andrew Johnson in the 19th century, President Andrew Johnson, there, you know, he was being accused of not complying with the law as it was at the time, and so on. But I don't, you know, what are they going to, I mean, I would love to read, this is why I always challenge them to stop talking about impeachment and actually write an article. Show us the article of impeachment. Show us what are you actually going to put up for a vote. They don't have it. They just like, they like to talk about impeachment in the abstract because that, I guess that makes them feel good. But that's not the way impeachment works. You're going to have to write an article of impeachment, vote on it, and so far, there's nothing that they're doing that comes close to that, George. Just one more response on that, George, and then we'll get into Guatemala.
Well, you know, the only thing I can respond to is the comments that are made on Sunday News yesterday. Congressman Nadler made the comment, which is being circulated widely on Fox, but not anybody else, where he actually made the comment that he knows that Trump has done something impeachable. They just need to find it now. That statement within itself is flabbergasting to me. I mean, it's just amazing. And
no,
it's amazing that nobody picks up on it and carries it, which shows, you know, the biasness of a lot of the media.
I agree. No, I agree with that. I mean, show me the article of impeachment, and then maybe I'll read it.
Well,
but
nobody's
written one up yet.
He will when he finds it. So, you know, just.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for it. I mean, they're going to look for it, you know. So we'll just sit back and wait for it, George. We'll just sit back and. And wait for the article of impeachment. Well, let's talk a little bit about Guatemala. Guatemala and the United States reached a deal. You know, there was a little bit of confusion inside Guatemala because I think the Supreme Court said one thing. I mean, the Supreme Court in Guatemala rejected the idea, but then I guess they were able to negotiate a solution. I think that this particular deal is probably going to slow down the caravans, but I think the country that has really slowed down the caravans, George, is Mexico. Because Mexico has taken a totally different posture here, and they're basically saying, no, you're not coming in anymore. And I think that's the end of the caravan. So, because if they cannot get into Mexico, that's the end of it, George.
Like I said, I was today I spent the morning and the afternoon down at with the sheriffs, the convention of Texas sheriffs that is going on here, and all of them were talking about how the ones from the border, how things have slowed down in some ways, they have gotten worse in other ways, but they're still, you know, they've slowed down as far as people coming across and declaring asylum. On that aspect of it, things are beginning to slow down a bit. There's also the contributing factor regarding the issue of the heat that is also having an impact, but it's beginning to slow down. The problem, I think, that we continue to see is that, you know, no sooner did the president announce this agreement than none other than Jerry Nadler and Julian Castro from here, from San Antonio, announced that it was illegal and that they were going to take action. They were encouraging people to take action against it, that there was no way that they could. You know, it is an agreement with it is an executive agreement. It's not a treaty. It is an executive agreement, and that can be done by the president. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to stop it. And all it does is require Hondurans. It actually impacts on Hondurans and Salvadorans more than anything else, that if they cross into a third country, then they have to wait there for asylum. And that's going to have a big impact. Now, here in on the border communities, we've got tons of folks. In fact, there is a UN truck convoy that goes regularly from Nuevo Laredo and from Piedras Negras back to Guatemala, taking people back who have determined that they're not going to be able to cross. And that's something completely new. Now, people are still crossing, people are still coming, but they're coming across now truly illegally, sneaking across, swimming across the river, trying to avoid the Border Patrol like they used to, or trying to or bringing kids, endangering kids. They're back to that as well. But it is having an impact, you know, and Mexico has gotten really, really tough.
I think that's the key. I mean, that's the key. I think Mexico being, in a sense, the bridge, if you will, from Central America to the United States, I think the fact that Mexico has gotten tougher, and by the way, the Mexican position or new policy is simply reflecting Mexican public opinion. There was a poll that was done by the Washington Post and Reforma, one of the newspapers in Mexico, and where, you know, basically the Mexican people said, no, we don't want this in our country. So I think in many ways López Obrador is reacting to that, realizing that it's a no-win situation to be having these caravans inside Mexico. But no question in my mind that the Mexican position is really the key here. That you can cut this deal with Guatemala, but if they can sneak into Mexico, then you really, the deal is worthless. And even if Guatemala doesn't enforce it or implement it as well as we like, they're still not going to be able to get into Mexico, which is really the key. That was the key, if you will, that was the key transfer point for coming to the United States.
And I have spoken to people in Mexico, people that are, that you know, some of the officials that come across every now and then, and they are, I will tell you, they are fed up. They are really fed up with the caravans, and now with the Asian and African folks that are, you know, that are parking themselves on the other side, clearly not able to cross and coming in, and you know, they've worn their welcome thin. They have worn their walls.
Well, they have. And as I say, this polling, this poll down in Mexico, again, done by Reforma and the Washington Post, I mean, clearly indicates that the Mexicans are not into it either.
Mm-hmm. What's fascinating is the argument that the Democrats are mounting. For example, Nadler and National Public Radio and a few others have started saying that this policy of forcing folks to wait in a third country is inhumane because Mexico is so dangerous. And so, you know, Julian Castro commented on Meet the Press yesterday that it was inhumane and people were going to die and Trump was going to be responsible for it. It's a no-win situation. There's nothing you can do.
No, I mean they're just either pandering or to a base. I have no idea who they're pandering to.
Yeah,
but
well,
they seem to think that this is how you get the nomination, and I'm not sure that's the case. George, let me take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the Supreme Court and the funding. A very interesting decision as well. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our friend George Rodriguez in South Texas. Just a quick plug here for my friend Carlos Guedes. You know, we play his music on the show, and I have a link to his schedule on the show information. And Carlos is playing all around the Dallas area, so click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule and where he's going to be playing this weekend. And I tell you, wherever he plays, the food is great, and, of course, the background music is second to none with our good friend Carlos. Let's get back to George Rodriguez in South Texas. George, the other big decision was the decision by the Supreme Court to, I guess the technical description is they overturned an injunction or something from a lower court. But the bottom line is they said, yes, the president can use his discretion to use these funds for the border wall. George, I was absolutely stunned that it was a 5-4 decision. I kept thinking, what are these four justices, what are they looking at? I mean,
yeah,
this is money that
politics.
The Congress...
I mean, it
yeah,
really
well, this
is. It really is politics
it is,
on that
yeah,
part.
It's like you have to sit there and say, you know, what are they thinking? This is money that has been approved by the Congress in the defense budget, and my goodness, if the commander-in-chief does not have the authority or the discretion to use funds, I mean, what are we talking about? When President Obama, for example, said he was going to close Guantanamo and move people to other prisons, did anybody ever approve that in a budget? No.
Yeah.
He was using his discretion. When President Obama gave $1 billion to the Iranians, was that approved anywhere? I don't recall that one. So it just seems like, you know, I'm willing to give a Democrat president some discretion so that he can use funds approved by the Congress. But whenever the Republican does it, you know, you've got these four justices. I have no idea what their argument is, George.
Yep. I mean, I was on Fox News when the first when he first proposed that back last year in March. And immediately, you know, I told him, look, the president has the discretion because he is the commander-in-chief, and then secondly, he is using money that the Pentagon has not used, which, you know, makes it even more discretionary. So, you know, there was nothing, no problem in it other than the lawsuit claimed that that the wall was going to interfere environmentally and that it was going to somehow drain the defense funds that might be needed in a military emergency. That's what the challenge made. Now, you know, the idea that somebody like Julian Castro or Beto O'Rourke would be worried about American national the military budget, you know, it's ironic to begin with. But, you know, to say that the wall or that the emergency that we've got with illegal immigration is not a national emergency, I mean, I am not sure, you know, what are they thinking? How are they defining it? I really don't.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it is a national security concern. And so, I mean, I do think it comes within the president's powers as commander-in-chief. And I think I go back to the point that this is money that, as you say, had been approved by Congress but not used by the Defense Department. It's not like we're taking money from Social Security and moving it over to the
exactly.
border.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not what we're doing. Basically, the money is already in the Defense Department. But it is amazing to me just how politicized things have become in the country that four justices in the Supreme Court will always vote the same way, no matter what. Once
yeah,
in a while,
it's very sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. Now, the five conservatives, well, once in a while, somebody will break, okay? But
yeah.
on the other hand, these four are just automatic votes. I mean, you know exactly who – I mean, it's almost like anything. They're going to vote the same way. And it kind of makes me wonder, I mean, is that really what a judiciary ought to be doing?
That's exactly
right. I thought
right.
that the point of the judiciary was to maybe have a little – creativity or something. I mean, or at least have these people independently think about these things. Well, George, any other thoughts on the funding or the Guatemala deal? That any other information you picked up from the sheriffs?
Well, they're all anticipating that this is a good first step, but there's a lot more that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot
absolutely
more that needs to be done.
Absolutely,
so,
I think I think so, and I think if you can slow down the traffic, I think that's the big step right there. With Mexico,
yeah.
of course, cooperating like they're doing, I think that's a huge step in the right direction. Well, George, as always, thank you for your time. Get back to your 90s, and if you're going out walking tomorrow morning, do it early so that you don't walk out
yeah.
in the heat.
Yeah, my dog's been waking me up at 6 in the morning because after that, we don't go.
That's
we don't go
right.
anywhere.
Yeah, we don't go anywhere. Well, George, thank you, and again, good luck with your book tour and your different speaking engagements here around Texas. And hopefully, you'll be coming to Dallas sometime soon.
Yeah, in fact, I'm hoping to be up there in a couple of weeks, and I'll give you a call. See if we can get
you
together.
You know that's what you do when you come up here. Give me a call, and we'll get together and catch breakfast again or lunch, whatever you got time for. Thank you so much, George. Thank you for your participation today.
All righty. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio is just going over a couple of decisions, you know, the one with Guatemala, the one with the Supreme Court, I think they're both steps in the right direction, I mean, because they're going to be holding back a little bit the caravans. And I think if you can hold back the traffic, I think that's a step in the right direction. Thank you very much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.